Acts chapter 2. I tell you this, let the Holy Ghost take over.
There is something of what?
So when you're teaching charismatic, there's the way your taxi sounds. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. You ready for tonight? You prepare for it all week? Alright, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Say one accord. In one place, say one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now before that, I want to say, there are different meetings you can have in the local church. Different meetings. You have a teaching meeting, and Jesus had all of them. You have a teaching meeting where the Word of God is taught. Clarity is received, conviction is birthed, you know, doctrine. And that's the major teaching of the church. The church is not a miracle center. The church is not it's not an healing school. The church of Christ is a teaching school. It's where the knowledge of Jesus is glorified above any other thing. But you see, when we now teach, that now inspires other meetings. It inspires the evangelistic meeting where we go and reach the unsaved. You get that? Where we go and teach those, we go and touch the unchurched, like we call it. You reach out to the unsaved because you have been taught. Jesus had that, he found out in Matthew 10, right? Where he called them two by two and he sent them out to teach. Mark 16, he told them to teach. You go and preach the gospel to every creature. You never believe in the baptized, saved, you never believe in the condemned. So we have the teaching meeting, evangelistic meeting. We also have the prayer meeting, where the church gathers to pray. In fact, before the church was born, Jesus took his disciples to pray. They answered, they said, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, you say this. Right? Right? When the church was born, they prayed. In fact, Acts chapter 1, when they were gathered in the Solomon's porch, in that upper room, they were all praying, including Mary, the one you call the Mother of God. They were all praying. Say prayer. Say prayer.
Yeah.
Say prayer. Aha. So, we have the teaching meeting, and the teaching meeting now beds in us evangelistic meetings where we reach out to the saved. The teaching meeting beds in us prayer meetings. We also have the healing meeting, where it's solely for those who are sick in the body. But you know what? If you are a smart believer, even in an healing meeting, and you're not sick, you can have the stirrings of the gifts of healing. And I'm going to teach you that on Sunday. I think we're just going to take, let the Holy Ghost take over for so both Sunday and Thursdays. Hallelujah. It's quite a long teaching. And so, we have the Holy Ghost meetings. That's the first one. Teaching meeting, evangelistic meeting, prayer meeting, healing meeting, then we have the Holy Ghost meetings, or what we call the believers meeting. What is this meeting? This meeting is to give opportunity as a local church, as a congregation of believers, for us to flow with the gifts of the Spirit. Someone say, what's the gift of the Spirit? When you talk about tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, visions, they are not for pastors. Growing up, you probably, when I was younger, you know, I probably thought, oh, pastors, you know, when you talk about visions, you know, how can I see vision? And so, as a teenager president, in teenager's church, those years, I told God, I was praying was it Thursday morning? Friday morning. I had Bible study in the evening to teach teenagers. Yeah, Friday morning. So, I was praying, I said, God, now, let me see vision now. It was really like a bed. If I don't see vision today, I don't know what will happen. I like putting myself in tight corners like Peter. I've changed. I don't do that again. Hallelujah. Because if I can't say God, I'm not preaching again. All I now do is I don't see the vision. Amen. And so, I want to see vision. Shortly after that, as I was praying, I saw a vision. I was unaware of my environment, really. I was in another place. Hallelujah. And so, it's not for pastor, it's for every believer. That's for every believer. And so, in an Holy Ghost meeting, or what we call believers meeting, we all flow. Tongues is not for the clergy. Tongues is for the believer. Whosoever believes and is baptized. Mark 16. Let's go there. You ready? Want to go? He said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes and is baptized, he said, whosoever believes not is condemned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Hey, stop there. So it means everyone who believes, right? These signs will follow pastors. Is that what it says? Oh, these signs will follow those that have prayed the Lord. Oh, these signs will follow those that have fasted, you know, and have soaked themselves. No. It will follow those that believe. In my name they will speak with new tongues. So, it means you can speak with new tongues. Say, I can. I thought that would be loud. I can. By the Holy Ghost, speak with new tongues. I can. Speak with new tongues. I can. Speak with new tongues. I can. Cast out devils. That's what it said. In my name they cast out devils. The signs shall follow all that believe. I can cast out devils. I can speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Reminds me of Sajidis and Kazan those years. What year was that? 2017? We went on an outreach. Power outreach. And he said, what church is this one? She stood at the entrance of the street and where? In the middle of the street. Shut up! Hallelujah. We almost got persecuted. So, you can cast out devils. You can. So, an Holy Ghost meeting or the believer's meeting is where we have such. You know, you can't just come on Sunday morning and say, I want to cast out devils. Where? From who? From me? Not me. Hallelujah. I'm not possessed. I can never be possessed with the devil. You have to go to the street where the unsaved are. Hallelujah. Where the prince of this world is king. You get the word clear? The prince of this world is king. So you go to that place and then you cast out the devil. Hallelujah. But you see, in the church, we have men endured by the Spirit of God. Right? So we have a Holy Ghost meeting. So go back to Acts 2. And when you say tongues and all of these gifts of the Spirit, you know, word of knowledge. What's word of knowledge? When someone tells you something from your past. Hallelujah. Facts. It's not for prophets. It's for every believer. As carnal as the church in Corinth, where they all spoke with tongues, they all had the word of knowledge. So it's not new. It's not novel. It's not special. It's for every believer. Amen. You should listen to all that teaching that we have done on the charismatic. Amen. Acts 2, go back there. Look at that verse 4. He says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And it makes it look like, you know, it makes it look like they received the Holy Ghost later. Because these guys were already saved. Jesus already taught them. They already believed, right? They already believed Jesus, even as they promised you, you know, before the resurrection. They believed him after the resurrection. I mean, so, are they just receiving the Holy Ghost now? No. No. Because, listen, when does a man receive the Spirit of God? When he believes the gospel. So, at salvation, you receive the Spirit. In fact, John chapter 3, let's just stretch that one. So that we are all on the same page. At salvation, you receive the Spirit. In John 3, Jesus calls being born again, being born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5. Are you there? Are you there now? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of, he cannot, who says he? That means you are not reading your Bible. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That means, what we call born again. Someone preached to me and I said yes to God. I said, okay, I believe that he died for me. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he rose again, right? I believe that his sacrifice was for me. Easter just left past. You can't forget that one. I believe that his sacrifice was for me. When you believe that message, you receive the Spirit. That's called being born of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit. So, at salvation, I am born of the Spirit. as salvation, I'm born. It's not an event that happened later. When I got born again, they told me I had to go for sanctification class, baptism class, holiness, spiritual maturity, all of those classes. I had like five, sure. Like five. And I thought, oh, I cannot receive the Holy Ghost until we'll see that tonight. So what happened in Acts 2 was not that they were just receiving the Holy Ghost. Even though it's also a receiving, which I will explain. But they were not receiving the Spirit of God for the first time. They already believed the gospel, and we already said that when a man believes the gospel, he has the Ephesians 1. Let's look at that. When you come to Bible, to church, you should open Bible a lot. I said, you want to open Quran. So what do you open in church today? Our pastor is so deep. He's so deep that we open Quran. Now you are drowning. You're not deep. Ephesians 1 verse 13. We are going to read 13 and 14 together. Are you there? Once you go. In whom you also trusted, after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you have believed, you are what? Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So it says, when you believe, you are what? Sealed with, I didn't hear that. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So, when a man believes the gospel, he's sealed with the Spirit. In fact, you have not been saved until you have the Holy Ghost. When a man believes the gospel, he is sealed with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, just deepening your conviction. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into what? One Spirit. Say one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6. Or 1 Corinthians 3. 3 first. Verse 16. Can we read together? Want to go? Know you not that what? You are the temple of God and are the Spirit of God. So, the believer is called the temple of God. So, upon salvation, actually, the Spirit dwells in a man. Romans 8. Epistle to the Romans. Verse 8 says, so they then that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can we verse 9 together? Yes. For you are not in the flesh. But in the Spirit, if so be that what? If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of. So, you can't say, I am saved. I've been born again, you know, but I don't have the Spirit yet. You are none of this. The seal of being born again is the Spirit of God. What shows that you are saved and you are born again is actually that you have the Spirit. You know, I got born again in the 90s, but I'm still waiting for the Spirit. Even those that waited for Pentecost, they waited for the 90s. You are waiting in 1992. It's like we create Spirit for you. Hallelujah. You should be filled by now. Amen. And what many people confuse for that receiving the Spirit is the being filled. And so, go back to Acts 2. That's where we're coming from. So it says, they were all filled. So, they already had the Spirit, but this time, they were filled. They were filled. And that feeling of the Spirit, or the infilling of the Spirit, is not a one-time event. It's not something that, I was filled last year. You can be filled every day. They were filled. So, let me explain it this way. What happened in Acts 2 is that they had the Spirit within, right? Because every man who is born of God is already led by the Spirit, already has the Holy Ghost. Is that true? Is that true? Come on. Are you in church at all? Is that true? So, if I already have the Spirit, what does it now mean that I am filled with the Spirit? It means I have put the Spirit within among. So, I put the Spirit within and I put it among us. So the Spirit within, or what many people have called the Spirit upon. And so, it's not more of a nature than an action. It's an action. God already gave us His Spirit as our nature. He gave us His Spirit as our nature. Then we have the responsibility to now put it in action. Alright. Are you there? Alright. So, it's a lie to think that they were just getting the Holy Ghost in action. No. Peter already got it. John already got it. What happened is that they were filled. They now put the Spirit within among them. So, we have the responsibility to put the Spirit within among us. That's what we just did before I started teaching. So, you help someone, and by the Spirit you started saying, God said, what did you do? The Spirit within, which is passive, right? Passive. Then you put it to action. I said, God said, do you know anyone called Bola? What am I doing? I'm putting the Spirit within out. Hallelujah. And that's what's called being filled. We have a teaching, being filled with the Spirit. We are full of the Holy Ghost. We have question of the Spirit. We have making the practice of the Spirit. We have a lot of teachings. Some people say, I don't believe in things of the Spirit. How dumb can you be? I've thought this for close over a decade. Things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Being filled. They were filled with the Spirit. Which we are going to look at the word. So, we said the believer has responsibility to what? To put the Spirit within, among us. So, the Spirit among us is what we now demonstrate to women. It's in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 34. Joshua, Deuteronomy 34. I want to explain to you what it means to be filled. So when we say, let the Holy Ghost step over, you will now understand. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was what? Full of the Spirit of... So when you say full of the Spirit, what do you think it meant? It meant that he had one Spirit in him that is wisdom. No. He was full of the Spirit. That is, he demonstrated wisdom. So when you say full of Spirit or full of wine, it's oftentimes because of what you saw. So I can say, this guy is full of wisdom. If I say you are full of wisdom, do you think I saw wisdom in you? Like, I can see wisdom sitting in one corner in your heart. No. What I'm saying is that what you said, you know, maybe he said, why not let us hear from the other party and say, don't let us judge this case. Let everybody come and then we can settle it. This case is not even up to what we should be fighting over. I said, you're full of wisdom. I didn't say that because he was just sitting somewhere and say, you look fine. You must be full of wisdom. No. He must have done something. He must have said something. And I said, you are full of wisdom. That makes sense? So, that's how you use the word full, plateau, which we are going to see later. Look at 1 Samuel. Saul, this time around. 1 Samuel, chapter 19. Verse 19. Let's verse 18. So David fled, when Saul was trying to kill David. David fled and escaped and came unto Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul has done to him. And he and Samuel went down to Nioth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Nioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also... And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers. And they what? Prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he himself to Ramah, and came into a great well in Shechem. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they are Nioth in Ramah. And he went to Nioth in Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he prophesied until he came to Nioth in Ramah. Can we read verse 24? and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they said what? He saw also among, but observe how he said it. He said the Spirit of God was upon, verse 20, was upon the messengers of Saul. So that the Spirit of God cannot be upon. He stayed in. He said, I will give you the messenger, which was also with you, but shall be in you. John 4, right? The Spirit of truth. John 14, 17. I'll send for you. I'll not comfort them. The world cannot receive him, but you receive him. Because he is with you, but shall be in. The Spirit is always in. Don't make a mistake. We can have the Spirit upon. Where you can only know by what is done. Why would they say this? Saul's servants were full of the Spirit, or the Spirit that was upon them. Why? Because they prophesied. It's just equal. So, it's not them prophesying, and they say, the Spirit is upon them. It's not something you see when someone is sitting. Right now, as everybody is sitting now, I don't know who the Spirit is upon. You get that? Because what you're doing has nothing to do with the Spirit. It's not hovering over your head like this. I say, holy. Until you do something, they're going to say he's full of the Spirit. So, there's an action to it. Are you listening to me? There's an action to it. So, go back to Acts 2. Is that where you're coming from? Acts 2? Oh, so, look at verse 4 again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what? Speak with the other as we. So, how did we know they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They spoke with tongues. Does that make sense? And that means, he said, they were all. So it means that everyone right now here in this meeting can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not one woman at the back. See? Oh, the interpreter. Sometimes. Master. Let everybody be quiet. Every one of us can be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Everyone here can be filled with the Spirit. I won't be left out. When everyone is filled with the Spirit and everyone is full of the Holy Ghost, I won't be left out. I will be full of the Holy Ghost. So, he says, they were all filled. That word filled means to be influenced. To be influenced. So, it's not a container. You get, then say the Holy Ghost now came in, they were filled. No. They already had the Holy Ghost. So, when you say it's an old English, plateau, P-L-E-T-H-O in the Greek, it means to be influenced. It's a supply. The way you drink wine and you are intoxicated and you start to stagger. Aha. That guy is full of wine. Exactly. So, he's being influenced by the wine. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So, it's not like the wine is full of his body. It's not like when you pinch him, Star Lager beer that will come out, or Guinness. It's blood that will come out, right? So, it's not like it's the container. It's full of wine. See what I'm saying? Come. So, it's not like I said, this is full of wine. I now pinch her. You think it's now juice that will come out? No. It's still blood. So, it's not talking about content. It's talking about influence. See that? So, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, you find that in Acts 3. Peter. When Peter healed the man at the gate, at the beautiful gate. In Acts 3:10. Let's have verse 9. And all the people saw him walking, that's the lame man, and praising God. And they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all what? Filled with wonder and amazement. At what? When you say they have to wonder, do you think wonder is everything about them? No, they were amazed. And being filled with wonder will be seen in what they did. It's either they shouted, or they exclaimed, or they acted somehow. See, or you know, sometimes you have people. There was one of my exams in medical school. I was filled with wonder. I think general surgery. I've always said that exam. As a body person, normally what I do in school then, but I was not one of the best students in class. I will not fail. I won't fail. But I was not the top 10, yes, in med school. So as a body person, general surgery, I said, I will start from the ones I know. You know, so it's 1 to 200 multiple choice questions. I said, I'll start with one I know so that I will now go back to the ones I don't know then. So I'll focus on one I know, like I can get it. I start with number one. 20, I've not found the one I know. Out of 200, 50. 1 to 50, there's none I know. No, not one. 1 to 70, none I know. At 85, I said, somebody, this is, I know this one. I was filled with wonder. What's this lecturer trying to achieve? But you had a child at home. So, when they say you are filled with wonder, exactly, I remember saying, God. Now that's wonder. Hallelujah. So you are not filled with wonder and you're like this. Imagine you are filled with wonder. You're going to doubt that, right? And cell is full of wonder. That's what some people do. Say you are full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, I do something now. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Oh, God, you full of the Holy Ghost. There must be something to it. When you say his influence. How many says? Stand in Acts 4. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow, and their rulers and the elders and the scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were the king of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse 7. Please put your attention. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked Peter and John, by what power or in what name have you done this? Can we verse 8 together? Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you love you and you, wait. So, how did we know it was full of the Holy Ghost? By what he said. So, was Peter part of the group that were filled in Acts 2? Eh? So, kindness is not a one-time event. So, you know, he's filled. That was not when he received the Holy Ghost. That was when there was an influence. Get that? An influence. So, Peter was filled in Acts 2. In Acts 4, he's getting filled again. He's filled with the Spirit. How did we know? By what he said. Peter be filled with the Spirit. Said. So he gave an answer. He was bold. That's why we know he was full of Holy Ghost. In Acts 4, the same Acts 4, verse 31. Now this is the entire church. When they finished beating Peter and John, even though he was full of Holy Ghost, they beat him. But they were full of something else too. Amen? So they beat Peter and John. And then, verse 31. Can we together? And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And they were all, and they what? So, how do we know they were filled with Holy Ghost? They spoke the word of God with boldness. There's always an action to being filled. So, can you see that it's an influence? That is, they were all influenced by the Holy Ghost and they spoke God's word with boldness. This Peter and John are part of this again. So they were filled in Acts 2. Yeah? They were filled in Acts 4 earlier when they were with the priests and Caiaphas and John and Alexander. Now they are filled again, they are in the church. Amen. Amen. That was the same day actually. So I can be filled in the morning and filled at night. I can be filled every time. Amen. Amen. I can be filled every time. I can be filled every time. I can be filled every time. I can be full of Holy Ghost every time. To be influenced. Look at Acts 5. After the Ananias and Sapphira saga. Verse 17. Let's have verse 16. There also came a multitude out of the cities around Jerusalem, bringing sick people, and then they were vexed with unclean spirit, and they healed everyone. Verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were sat with him, which were the Sadducees, and they were what? Filled with, and laid their hands on the apostles to put them in what? Prison. How did we know they were full of indignation? What they did. The action they took. How can you want to put them in prison for healing the sick? They were full of indignation. Is it making sense? So when you say someone is full of something, you are actually saying you are seeing something he's doing. Is that he's doing something? He's saying something? He's seeing something? He's hearing something? There must be an action. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acts 9. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto you as you came has come to me that you might receive your sight and what? And be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately death fell from his eyes, scales. and received sight thereof and arose and was baptized. How did we know he was full of the Holy Ghost? Verse 20. Straight away he went to what? Preach Christ.
That is the Son of God.
That's how we knew that Paul was actually full of the Holy Ghost. So again, let's look at one more. Two more. Acts 13. Verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. So, was Paul filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 9? Eh? Now he's getting filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 13 again. Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said what? Eh? He was preaching and someone came to block his preaching. Then he was full of the Holy Ghost and said. That makes sense? That makes sense? So again, we see it in an action. In verse 45, Acts 13. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. Plato. They were filled with envy and spoke against those things that were spoken by Paul. So how did we know they were filled with envy? They blasphemed. And I said, hey Paul, he's not one of the 12. Can you see? They were filled with envy. Acts 19, last one. Promise. Acts 19 verse 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. So as long as you're getting filled with the Holy Ghost, there's also being filled with confusion. Yeah, that's not you, Abby. Yeah? So it's a word used for influence, oftentimes. They were influenced by the Spirit. So what happened in Acts 2? We had men who were already born of the Spirit, then they now put the Spirit to action. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So God puts His Spirit within us as our nature. Then we have the responsibility to bring that Spirit within and put it among us. That makes sense? That makes sense? So you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. So when the Holy Ghost takes over, what, you know, just like someone drinks wine or drinks alcohol and then he's gulping it, first bottle, he has not taken over him. Abby? Come on, Abby? The guy that is filled, he's just taking it. And he's gisting with friends. Then he takes the second bottle. Then he takes the third bottle. Then the fourth. Then the fifth. Then he says, I was born. Yeah, he's getting filled. I was born. Give it all. We party tonight. Tell the pastor, are you drunk? I'm not. Well, we party tonight. The attendant is already happy. Yes, we party. Of course, money is getting more. It's a fifth bottle, sixth bottle. And then he said, want to close shop. That's when you know he's healed. And he said, I see so in poor. His sight has changed. The wine has taken over. Then you tell him, that's your house. I said, no, this is my house. His hearing has changed. The wine has taken over. Is it making sense? Huh? Then, his speaking will also change the way he sees. Then he starts to look at his wife. You look like my school principal. Ah. What has changed again? He's talking. His perception. So, when something influences you to an extent, it starts to affect your faculties. The faculties start to respond to it. And we saw that in Acts 2. So, go back to that Acts 2. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Acts 2. You have to be fast, huh? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as we gave them themselves. But you see, that was not the only thing that happened. Not just not the speaking. In verse 1, they were come together in one place, in one accord. I would say that on Sunday. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So there was a sound as of the mighty rushing wind. And cloven tongues as of fire. I want to make it known unto you that you didn't see fire. It is the influence of the Holy Ghost. So, everybody had a vision. And everybody heard something. This is what Jesus.
Everybody heard something. Everybody saw something. And everybody said something. The Holy Ghost has taken over. Naturally,
they will just say, as we are gathered now, we are waiting, sir.
He said that we should gather in Pentecost. He said we should gather on the day of Pentecost, we should gather on upper room. And now so we gather still, so, Jesus, don't be promise and fail, oh. Are you seeing that? Normally, they will just be seeing each other. Huh? Her sister, you are fair, sister. No believers that can whine. Sister, this glory is a show. You know? But suddenly the Holy Ghost has taken over. They saw cloven tongues in the fire. They heard a mighty rushing wind. And they spoke in tongues. So when the Holy Ghost takes over, your faculties are snatched. You begin to hear, you begin to see, and you begin to talk in the Spirit. So there are sight and sound by the Spirit. There are sights and sounds by the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost takes over. Hallelujah. I'm doing an introduction tonight. We'll have much more time on Sunday and next week. When the Holy Ghost takes over, there are sights and there are sounds. Just like the illustration I gave of the drunken man. Right? Right? And that's why you observe that in the New Testament, oftentimes the Holy Ghost is also illustrated with what? With the new wine. Because it's the same effect. When the Holy Ghost takes over, you begin to see. You begin to see. Can you just speak in tongues as I'm teaching? Just speak in tongues. Oh, just mutter it under your breath. When the Holy Ghost takes over, you begin to see, you begin to hear, you begin to speak. Not like the natural man. We saw the natural man in Acts 2. Those are the ones that said, hey, they are drunk. Exactly. They are drunk, but you don't know what they are drunk with. you are drunk. Peter said, we are not drunk with the wine you are thinking of. Seeing that it's just the third hour of the day. This is new wine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let him take over. Hallelujah. So, in Acts 2, we see an example of what happens when the Holy Ghost takes over. Your faculties, our faculties become active by the Spirit. And tonight, we're going to see that happen. Because there are things to see, there are things to hear, there are things to say. Hallelujah. There are things to say, there are things to see, 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 there are things to see. He's going to show you what no man has ever shown you. He's going to tell you what no man has ever told you. You are going to find clarity and precision by the Spirit. You are going to find clarity about your future. You are going to find clarity about your ministry. Your hands are going to be strengthened. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let him 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 take over. Hallelujah. Let him take over your faculties. Until the Holy Ghost takes over, you are going to see everybody here. That's what you are going to see. That's guy's not praying. That's guy's not praying. But the person you are looking at is not seeing you. His faculties have been snatched. Or her faculties have been snatched. She is in a trance. You are seeing her. Don't lose out. I won't lose out. I won't lose out. I'll let the Holy Ghost take over. Let him take over. See, there are things that will not happen except by the Spirit. And the Christian life is not an ordinary life. It's not one just, we are going to church. You actually can do things by the Spirit of God. I mean, your ministry can be purely by the Spirit of God. Where you lay on the stick and the sick recover. Where when you say, leave, it leaves. When you say, stay, it stays. That is when the Holy Ghost takes over. Hallelujah. Praise God. We found that in Acts 2. We found that in Acts 2. What can we do when the Holy Ghost takes over? Let's just round it up with 1 Corinthians 14. Because tonight what I just wanted to do is set the tone for what we are going to be teaching in the coming weeks. And then we'll have broad explanations when we have time on Sunday. And then we'll practice more on Thursdays and see how that happens. Let the Holy Ghost take over. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26, I'll have time to explain 1 Corinthians 14 better. We are all going to read verse 26, 1 Corinthians 14. Are you ready? Want to go? How is it then, brethren? When you come together, everyone has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done. Now you are going to read it for yourself. Instead of every one of you say, I have. Want to go? How is it, brethren? When you come together, I have a psalm. I have a doctrine. I have a tongue. I have a revelation. Do you have that? You have a psalm. What is a psalm? A psalm is an inspired song by the Spirit. An inspired song by the Spirit. You just go, and you go, there are rivers of joy in my heart and in this place. I've got the Holy Ghost. There's no fear in me. There are rivers of joy and I'm in this rain. I am full of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is not rehearsed before. I just spoke in tongues and I interpreted the tongues and I gave it melody. That's the psalm. It's as easy and effortless as that. I have at least 3 psalms in a day. It's as easy and effortless. Hallelujah. You don't need to say, you now go 85 hours and come with one psalm. No, I have a psalm. I have a psalm. I have a psalm. When you let the Holy Ghost take over, it takes over your faculties. And so, what happens? My tongue is taken over. My mind is taken over. I start to reason the word. I start to speak with tongues and give it an interpretation. So I have a psalm. He says, you have a doctrine. Everyone has a psalm. You have a tongue. I've got a tongue. That is, I can speak with tongues. So, for me, I'll just look today. You know, you found people, we're saying everyone was filled, right? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And you found people, say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't hear that. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And say, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, everybody, tongues. Yeah. If you are looking, you're not filled. Now, it's okay, good. That has to be filled. Yep. Where is it? Rejoice! Not family with it. Hallelujah. Wait. It's an example. It's an example. Sit down. I'm liking this one. Okay, so I'm giving an example. But you see, that's how to be at the cutting edge. When you want to demonstrate things of the Spirit, you must stay on the edge. I've given the illustration before. Have you tried balancing at the edge of a gutter before? When you are young, are you like, that's how to stay with the things of the Spirit. Thought that a small touch, you are gone. Hallelujah. So you have to say, tongues. Why are you preparing for it? I'm on the cutting edge. I'm on the edge. I'm just waiting. Just give the instruction. Hallelujah. And there are a lot of things that can happen when we let the Holy Ghost take over. Sometimes you think you are weak and you can't do this. Your ministry and life can be strengthened when you let the Holy Ghost take over. Just the same way wine in the natural will affect a man. And he will start feeling somehow. His stomach get rumpled. The Spirit of God can influence the life of a man. He can change things forever. When you let the Holy Ghost take over. You gonna allow that tonight? So, he says, you have a psalm, you have a tongue, you have a doctrine. What's a doctrine? A doctrine is a teaching. So, by the Spirit, I can instruct. For example, on Monday, I instructed you, right? Eh? Right? By the Spirit, I gave you a doctrine. Right? On Monday, you remember that? When I told you that the Spirit of the Christian faith is an expectant one. You must always learn to expect a miracle. You must always learn to expect growth. You must expect. There's nothing pessimistic about Christianity. There's nothing pessimistic. From Genesis, he gave us a promise. You have something to look forward to. The Christian faith is always optimistic. You believe that the best will happen. Hallelujah. And I said that by the Spirit on Monday. So that's how to give a doctrine. Does it make sense? So you have a psalm, you have a tongue, you have a doctrine. That means When we start to edify one another, you actually can have a doctrine. You actually can teach by the Spirit. This is a revelation. Apocalypse. A revelation. An unveiling. I can see. You can't talk about revelation without sight. Hallelujah. So I can see by the Spirit. While others have seen probably confusion and seen, this life, I don't understand. I can see glory of God. I can see the glory of God. I can see what God is doing. Hallelujah. I can see by the Spirit. I can have revelation. Sights. Sights only the Spirit of God can show. I can have it. I can have it. I can have it. I can have it. I will have it. Revelation. Say, you have it. That's what he said. So when you gather, when you come together, every one of you, you, every one of you has a son. Okay, there's nothing coming to me. You are lying. God to what says everybody has. Everyone has a son. So you can't tell us otherwise. The word of God has passed you. Amen? Everyone has a son. Everyone has a doctrine. Everyone. You, me, you. Everyone has a son. I have a son. You have a son. I have a son. I have revelation. I have doctrine. I have revelation. I have interpretation. So when you give a tongue, now let me say this, and I will zero it more on Sunday morning. When you say a tongue, now, when we come together as a church, in your room you can speak in tongues and just bless the Father. But when we come in the church, when you speak in tongues, you give interpretation. I'm not talking about praying when we pray pre-service prayer. We are all praying for the service, fine. But when we say it's for edification, and I pick a sister, I pick a brother, when I'm speaking in tongues, I must interpret it. Because the tongue edifies me. I'm going to explain all of this much more. I'm laying foundation, like I said. The tongue edifies me, when interpretation edifies us. If I don't interpret it, then I'm selfish. Because I'm the only one that's blessed. Amen? Amen. We'll see this much more Sunday morning. Look forward to that. I feel when I said, so, again, in interpretation of tongues is actually walking along. And we'll see what Paul meant by everything being decently and in order. He was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Let all things be done decently and in order. Amen. 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 But when we let the Holy Ghost take over, what do we have? I have a son. Let's start with that one. Tonight. I have a son. You have a son? I have a son. I have a son. Now, yeah, two, a son, two. So, unify the other brother with a son. I've got a son. I have a son. Wait, pause. Don't say, they are pausing the spirit. Pause. You know, it's not spooky. Don't start seeing the Holy Ghost as something. No. Speak in tongues. Stop. Can you that you're not controlling the spirit now? Speak in tongues. Increase the volume. Reduce the volume. Stop. It's not, there's nothing like, if you do A, I will send you out. The spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet. You actually can determine what happens. That's what I just showed. That means if you say you are not seeing anything, you are not seeing anything. And if you say you want to see, you will see. Because the same way you said, I want to speak now, I want to increase the volume. If I say I want to see by the spirit, I can see. If I say I want to hear by the spirit, I can hear. Sometimes, how to hear by the spirit is to listen to the person you are facing. And God talks to you. And it shows you things marvelous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, all we want to do is, we want to let the Holy Ghost take over. Let Him take over of your sight. Let Him take over of your tongue. Let Him take over of your ears. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Are you ready for that? So, you go there. So, how do I flow in everything of every gift of the Spirit? I speak in tongues first. No, just speak in tongues first. Then, when you're ready for a psalm, You can add melody to your songs. So, you know, just go. The way you add melody to anything is natural. The melody is not from God. It is from you. What is from God is the tongues. What is from God is interpretation. The melody is from the air. That makes sense? That makes sense? Be fine. So, you add melody to the tongues you already have. Right? You spoke in tongues now. You add melody to it, and then you wait for the interpretation. That makes sense? Let's have a song. I have a song. Oh yeah. Let the Holy Ghost take over. You don't have all day.
You have to be fast.
I can see by the Holy Ghost.
Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Come on, sing by the Spirit.
Sing by the Spirit.
Oh yeah. Put six. 1 minute. 1 minute more. You can write your psalm down. I sing it all week long.
Song by the Spirit. People sit down to write songs, but have a singing spirit.
Don't mind your voice. It gives perfect praise. Don't say my voice is not too good. It gives perfect praise. Okay, stop. You also have a revelation. What is the revelation? It means you speak with tongues. See, the tongues is the gateway to the supernatural. Speak with tongues and put your ears to the ground. God is going to tell you something. He's going to show you something for the other person. Now, don't be scared. And this is one of the things you must learn to decide with the thing of the Spirit. Sometimes the things of the Spirit are caught. They are what? C-A-U-G-H-T. They are caught. You catch them. So, you must always learn to lambano. Always learn to receive. Always learn to take it with boldness. Some say, hey, but I could be wrong. No, you are not. Remember Jesus, when he gave the word of knowledge in John chapter 4, he told the woman by the well, he said, where is your husband? The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you have said well. Because the person you are staying with is not your husband. And you have had 5 husbands before. And he said, how did you know? Imagine, after you said, where is your husband? He said, I have no husband. You said, oh, I've missed it. I've missed the revelation. Right? But what you do is, you press on. You don't press the brakes. You don't press the brakes. So, you keep speaking in tongues. It gets clearer. That's why it's called a word of knowledge. A word, another word. A word, another word. That makes sense? So, I said, where's your husband? He said, I don't have a husband. I said, I cannot lie. So I press on. My student gets the ghost of power. But he gets the money. He has the concern about the belly. He said, okay, you have someone at home. He said, yes. But it's not your husband. Okay? Fine. I press on. Let the pastor know. You've had 5 husbands before. He said, yes. How did you know? I'm pressing on. That makes sense? Don't press the brakes. Don't let them say, do you know anybody called Samuel? Say, I've never heard any Samuel in my life. Say, Spirit, you fall on me. No. Sometimes, it could be for even a friend. I've been in that situation before. Someone was saying something to me, and then I said, not really. Then as I was going, God said, that's for so and so. I thought that, but I said, continue, sir. As he went on in the explanation, I discovered that, and that's why God is telling me to tell the person. Is it making sense? So you don't doubt what the Spirit of God said. Jesus is here tonight. There's no lie yet. There's no false revelation yet. See, just let the Holy Ghost take over. And don't worry about the details. Let the Holy Ghost take over. I'm here now. Don't worry. You will flow. Hallelujah. You are under the tent. You will flow. Are you ready? So, a tongue, then a revelation. Go ahead. And I'm going to demonstrate that tonight. Oh yeah. So, Zubri fahande, kitika tu momba hati, afanga, atolande, kizom vapon, supra kadon di gandu lepon, de si kandish, tu pargolote, le pope garçon zepon de le gotuza, le dude ni gom bando, zeptegand, slep di gato, jadabati, digi gatati, don't start the pope, lita gat, don't shake the kelly, don't delicate me, bro, skip the bani, don't step in the flesh. Don't assume. Don't guess. Just let the Holy Ghost take over. So let the Holy Ghost take over. Let the Holy Ghost take over.
Oh yeah, release your tongue. Let the Holy Ghost take over.
Say with boldness.
Say with boldness. In the revelation, there could be a teaching. In the revelation, there could be a healing. Let the Holy Ghost take over.
Swabagiyande, kukakura to let his father. Veshutilikatika bompapa, hegofa, emtilundi aduaka teleki tanto jasa. Batutilege, hevoti, sapuri tenaiku tanika le manju selema, eprepe alukosu de manjisa.
You have about 4 minutes. Don't hold back. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Ça pouvait qu'il n'en dessa. Bibo petit lacosim te mange. C'est un glen qui vendes. Spinguette. Qui l'a coffa. Zim le mauvais rigueur monze.
Can we stand? Oh yeah.
Fire on. Don't press the brakes.
We are men born by the Spirit of God. Born of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. Don't press the brakes. Don't force it. Nothing is coming. Pray. Keep praying in tongues. When you find a slight test information, you say it. Coming will have you come more information as you press in. That's how the Holy Ghost takes over. Oh yeah.
There's always the first time. Oh yeah. There's somebody. Can you pull it up? So come put the horn. You can see that I'm on the lake of Jusha, the Bata season. Oh yeah, let the Holy Ghost take over. He's talking to you. He's saying to you. Let the Holy Ghost step over tonight. I have a song, but I have an interpretation. I've got a song, I've got joy. I've got the Spirit of the Lord. That's it. Hallelujah. How many of you spoken? You interpret your tongues for the first time. Let me see. There's nothing wrong with that. Beautiful. Hallelujah. You gave a word of knowledge for the first time. You knew something about the Spirit for the first time. I would like seeing that. For the first time. You gave a word of knowledge. Anyone? Prophecy for the first time? Or you don't know what prophecy is? You told someone something by revelation and it was the first time. Beautiful. Did you understand? Come with the Spirit of God, comes with the heart of love. Learn not to entertain bitterness in your heart. Not against anyone. When bitterness comes, it comes in with a lot of sickness. It comes in with sickness. Don't be bitter. Uproot every root of bitterness tonight. Take it away. By prayer, by rooting yourself in God, you take away the root of bitterness. It is the devil's doorway to getting access to your life. For wherever you can allow bitterness, for wherever bitterness is every evil work. The devil will thrive in a place where bitterness stands. Believer, hear ye the word of the Lord. Walk in the path of love. Love is to see the fault of others and not to react. Not react based on what they've done to you. Love is to hurt me and I will still love you. Not because I was not hurt, but because the love of God is deeply rooted in my life. Don't entertain bitterness. Don't let ego be your master. There's nothing to be proud of. There's nothing to be proud of in, let's see the person that will beg first. There's nothing to be proud of in that. Or let's see the person that will say sorry first. There's nothing about it. It's the devil trying to gain access. And when he enters, he brings several more. He brings several more. Let go of bitterness. Let go of hatred. Let go of offenses and strife. For there's no strife by my spirit, says the Lord. No one is full of bitterness and full of the Holy Ghost at the same time. So the way I'm full of the Holy Ghost is I'm full of love. I'm full of love. In the coming days will come, people stepping on your shoes. They step on your toes. They say things you have never loved. Be sensitive, believer. Be sensitive. Man in Christ, take your stand in the love of God. Take your stand in the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Fear is being taken away tonight. I'm hearing that again. Fear. Fear of your future. Fear of death. Suicidal thoughts. Fear is taken away. Fear is taken away. Every evil dream is taken away. The dreams you dream and they scare you the next day. In the name of Jesus, it will not happen again. You are victorious. You are victorious. You stay in your victory. 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 Because your fear has disappeared. The fear is taken away. There has no authority here. Jesus died and paid the price. He died and paid. We are seated in Him. We are seated in Him. Fear of a wayward sibling. Your sibling that is going wayward. You've been praying for something. It appears that nothing is happening. It's getting deeper. It's getting deeper. Calm down. Calm down. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. Calm down. I'm not asking anybody to raise their hands. I have time for that. Just receive, you want to receive. Fear of a wayward sibling. Sometimes you will fear that you might be killed. You will fear that the worst might come. You feel he's been a thief. You feel he's been scamming people. Like those can dance, give back that suffer. Stop saying the word of the Lord. Take time out to pray for him. Take time to pray for him and reach out to him. You are going to make him a personal project. You are going to make a personal project. You are going to preach the gospel and he's going to receive. He's going to be a mighty minister of the gospel. Thus saith the Lord. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have any sickness in your body right now, receive your healing.
Amen.
Go ahead and receive your healing. I declare you all in the name of Jesus. Every liver condition, Every irritation in the trachea. Every ear infection. Who is that person? Ear infection. Who is the person? It tingles every time. Okay, fine. He's taken now. He's taken away now. Now. Every urogenital infection. Let those zambra hakos. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. If those are blessed, Lord, listen to me. Is that what you can do? Let's sing, praise. Sing your tongues. Be full of the Holy Ghost. Let's see that in your tongues. Yeah? Be full of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Be full of the Holy Ghost. There's no passive. There's no passive feeling.
Diversity is what we can do by the Spirit. Sometimes it happens that when you let the Holy Ghost take part, this brother can have a time while this one has a revelation, while this brother has a tongue, while this one has a vision, while this one has a prophecy. It's possible. There are different streams. So you sometimes must learn to be spontaneous. There's a lot to teach on this. You just learn to be spontaneous. For example, I said, be filled with Holy Ghost now. What is that first thing that comes to you? So be filled now. Be filled. Stop. I did the same for this way. For some people, it will be prayer. For some people, it will be joy. Hallelujah. You know, Bible says, when they came to Jesus in Luke 10, in that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. That was how it was spontaneous. If someone else, you will just lift his hands and bless the Lord. Someone else will just pray in the Spirit. They are different strengths. Diversities of gifts for the same Spirit. Hallelujah. So, you must also learn that spontaneity. I'm going to teach all of that. But the willing before believers meeting. So that believers meeting, we are just having fun. Hallelujah. Praise God. So,
Be spontaneous tonight. I want you to be spontaneous. Go ahead. So, whatever comes to you by the Spirit, you do it. You do it. Be spontaneous. Oh,